What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So you know how it took the Blue Jays about 32 years, not about, it took them 32 years to get back to the World Series. It seems that it's taken that long for Tom Gazzola to finally join this program. I think, Tommy, there could have been some swerve and avoidance going on your end. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You're here, finally. It's been a long time, my man. It's been a long time.
I know. I blame myself. So there, I'll put the onus on myself. Yes, it's all on me, but
it's all
we're here together. Yeah,
we are. I've been trying to get Tommy on, and yeah, for whatever reason, Tom does tons of work with Edmonton, the Oilers, and the CFL, too. It just wrapped up as well. Congrats to Saskatchewan with that great cup. Tom Gazzola, host of Oil Stream, post and pregame, Edmonton Sports Talk, co-host of Hello Hockey with Sean Bell. We will dive into Edmonton heavy, of course, Tommy, with the Oilers. We'll talk about the defense, the goaltending. We can probably spend hours on the goaltending like we have, I think, for the last couple of years, but we'll save that for just a little bit. And we'll go 77 seconds in with you, questions. No time limit. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get into it right away. So I was looking at the numbers for this season compared to last, only with the record. So last season at this point, they were 9-7-2. Now they're 9-7-4. So pretty much on par with what they were a season ago. But these are incredible numbers here. And you know this. They're 16th in goals. They're 26th in goals against, 24th in 5-on-5 goals, 30th in 5-on-5 goals against. Yet they have the third best power play, no surprise, two of the best in the game who do that on a nightly basis. Just give us, based on those numbers and everything else, kind of the first month in here, your assessment of this team, if you can, because I know it's been up and down.
Yeah, happily. I mean, the post-game show, Ryan, has been a plethora of complaints.
I bet.
Not that that's surprising, but
yeah.
I was driving home the other night after they lost to Columbus. They were down 5-2. They kind of clawed their way back into it. It was a 5-4 loss. The Jackets had just gone on a long road trip. It started on Long Island. They came out west. They went to Alberta. Actually, they went to Vancouver, came back to Alberta, went back out to the West Coast, wrapped it up in Seattle, had a day between games, and then actually faced the Oilers, and they were all sick, the Jackets were. And the Oilers ended up losing that game. And I'm sitting there driving home after the post-game show thinking to myself, like, what is wrong with this team?
Right.
And I reflected on, like, the fan base, too, and how unhappy it's been this year, and for good reason. There are not a lot of games this season from an Oilers standpoint where you could look at the team and be satisfied. Like, very unsatisfactory play.
Yeah.
It's led to mixed results despite, you know, the high-end talent that this team does possess. And there have been a lot of nights where they have won, sure. Yeah, they have 9 wins. But only 2 of them, really, you could look at and go, boy, they played well. Because most nights, it's either an overtime win, like we saw the other night. And 2 of these wins, the 2 wins on this trip have been overtime wins so far. There was a game against the Vancouver Canucks. It was the second game of the year where they played a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. And you could be like, all right, that's satisfactory. And then there was a win.
That was game 2. That was early in the season. That's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're still pointing back to that game, being like, that was a good one. And then they beat the Mammoth in convincing fashion. When the Mammoth had rattled off like 7 straight wins, they were the hottest team in the league. And the Oilers were down in the first period. And then they had this – let's call it like a very candid conversation that they discussed about postgame in the first intermission with each other. And they said enough is enough. And they went and stomped Utah 7-2. They had 5 goals in the second period.
Yeah,
and we kind of thought to ourselves, okay, they're back. This is the Oilers team that we expected, the contender, the team that, you know, has 2 of the best players in the world. And it just reverted back to playing unsatisfactory hockey, spotty defensive hockey. The goaltending has, you know, been okay at best.
Yeah.
But when you're hanging out both goalies to dry on a nightly basis, giving up quality chances, like, this fan base has a lot of reason to complain. And that's what I point it back to when I go and look at this team and why fans are upset about it, because they have not played satisfying games or hockey. It's left a lot to be desired from this group. They haven't really put together a 60-minute performance outside of that Vancouver game and 40 minutes against Utah. That was like almost a month ago now, Ryan.
What about the game against Colorado?
Oh, yeah, though, you know, the one that was tied for the worst loss in franchise history on home ice.
Away.
Yeah, well, that one went sideways pretty quickly, didn't it? Yeah, 9-1, they got their asses kicked. Hey, yeah. Sean Bell and I, Bellsy was filling in on post-game as the analyst for Matt Cassian that night.
Yeah.
And Bellsy and I were leaving the press box with about 10 minutes left, and we're walking around the arena, and people are like, they weren't even mad. They were just laughing at the Oilers. They're like, Bellsy. Yeah. Tommy, how are you guys going to break this one down? Well, what can you say? Like, they sucked.
They got crushed.
And we were just laughing. And it actually got to a point. So I just really quickly, I built a studio. When we started our station, EST, I built a satellite studio. I bought a place right across the street from Rogers Place in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And in my den, I built a satellite studio, essentially. And so, like, you run into Oilers fans all over the place because the rink's right across the street. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, hey, is this still 7-1? And Belzy and I are like, no, it's 9-1. And then you could just hear like people going to bars around the arena. They're like, 9-1? Did you guys say 9-1? And it's like an echo. It's like, 9-1, guys? 9-1, really? And it was just like boom, 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 all around the intersection right by the arena. Belzy and I were just chuckling to each other like, this is insane. And when it gets to the point where they're making fun of the team and kind of not apathetic, but just like, boy, they suck.
Yeah.
Just kind of indicative of where it's been this season.
And that loss was ridiculously bad for Edmonton. As bad as Edmonton was then, I mean, Colorado is just, you know, they're in a different league right now on their own.
But, yeah.
I mean, good on them. I want to go back to what you said. And this is about, you know, for the hockey fan to look at statistics right away when you see stats, you think, okay, that has to be the problem. So I want to go back to what you said about goaltending. And if you look at the goaltending, the stats are not great, and they've not been great with Pickard and Skinner. You and I and others have had this discussion about the Edmonton goalies for a long time now. But then you said it's kind of the play in front of them. They're leaving them out to dry. So kind of get into a bit of that more with me, because again, that may take a little bit of my mindset of, okay, the goaltending, yes, it's not great, but it doesn't seem to be the biggest problem right now.
No, the goaltending gets a lot of the heat,
right.
and rightly so. It's the last line of defense. We all know that.
Yeah.
And when you're not getting that big save on a nightly basis and, you know, first shots of games are going in, you're rolling your eyes going, geez, these guys in net here, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Defensively, this team's been a mess. And, you know, there was like, I think it was in The Athletic, they had this defense as a top five unit in the NHL. And I'm sitting there going, and listen, there's articles backing it up with numbers and advanced metrics. Yeah. And I'm looking at this personnel going, yeah, sure, on paper, it's probably their best group of veteran defensemen in a while in Edmonton. But still, there's a lot to be desired on the back end as well. Like, Darnell Nurse has not had a good season.
No, he hasn't.
Evan Bouchard has been atrocious in his own zone.
Yeah.
Matthias Ekholm, who's supposed to be the Bouchard whisperer, he's struggled. He's getting older, and he's had some tough nights, and he's had an anchor beside him in Bouchard that's brought his game down. Jake Walman started up the season injured. He came back, was good offensively. He's had some poor decisions that have led directly to goals. And then Brett Kulak, who's just a steady hand, third pairing guy, he's had some rough outings. And then they've kind of rotated between Ty Emberson and Alec Regula, who is a good story out of camp. He's only played, I think he's coming up on about 30 NHL games total.
Yeah.
But the Oilers, they plucked him off waivers from Boston last year. He was a Chicago draft pick that Stan Bowman knew, obviously. And then the other guy was Troy Stetcher, who got picked up off of waivers from the Leafs. And he'll give you everything he's got, but there's a limit to what Troy Stetcher could do. So the defense is just like missing assignments and boneheaded plays and bad first passes out of their zone. It's just you look at the back end and you go, what are you guys doing? Like it has been a very rough go for the Oilers defensively, and a lot of it has to do with the blue line. And then I'm not going to give the forwards a pass either here, Ryan, because there have been moments where the forwards have not done their job, missed assignments, missed checks, lazy on back checks.
Yeah.
And it's been the big dogs have been doing it too. Like McDavid, you'll see sometimes you're like, why did your TV turn instead of stop and start?
Yeah.
It's hard to question a guy like that, but he has those moments. Draisaitl, same thing.
Yeah. The numbers, too, you were talking about Ekholm and Bouchard in five on five in October. Ekholm, when he was on the ice, not just him, but the four others, of course, but when he was on the ice, the teams outscored 14-7. When Bouchard was on, they outscored 11-5. Now, in October, combined, they're outscored 8-6, or they're outscoring their opponents 8-6. So things are improving, but again, lots of holes with that. And you think, too, with the veteran group on the back end, that the simplicity of finding the man that you have to check, and the simplicity of trying to get the puck out of your zone and not missing assignments, you think that that's something they do, but for whatever reason, they're just not doing it. You mentioned Stetcher to Toronto. Just quickly before we get to talk about the forwards in Edmonton, what's the feel around Edmonton, around you, about what's going on in Toronto with the Maple Leafs? Because regardless if you're a fan or not, of course, they're certainly not making the headlines for all the right reasons. So what's kind of the sense? Is the sense of, hey, maybe like Edmonton, they don't have any source of, I don't know, any sense of control, guidance, whatever it is. But, you know, everyone in Toronto's ready to blow the team up as usual.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar for some reason. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Like, listen, it's a circus covering the Oilers, obviously. Yeah. And I can only imagine, and I've had, doses of it whenever I would travel with the team and go to Toronto and get a sense, an idea of what it's like covering the Leafs. And I mean, from here, you just kind of look at that chaos and go, oh, that looks like fun.
No thanks.
Again, like it's a good team that's underperforming. And you look at Craig Berube and you're like, oh, he's probably just losing his mind right now.
Yeah.
At the same time, too, it's kind of enjoyable. You're like, well, that's too bad. Ah, geez. It's that's the Seinfeld meme where he's like, sit back. You're like, that's too bad. Yeah. That's kind of how it is. But listen, I mean, it's always entertaining, and that team should be better, in my opinion. It probably will be better. They could use a guy like Mitch Marner for some reason. We joke about that, but I mean, I look at the goaltending in Toronto, and Anthony Stolarz was a backup in Edmonton briefly, and nobody really batted an eyelash when they let him walk. And it was a terrible season when he was here, and good on him for turning into a number one, I guess, in the NHL and the Wall. And the other thing about the Leafs too, right, is like, how many players do they need? Because they go and trade and pick up everybody, it seems like.
Yeah.
I saw Matt Benning playing for them. I'm like, good, he's still in the league. Like, nice to see.
That's where they all end up. They all end up in Toronto at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to bounce between the minors and the top dog or the top team. And I'm just like, it's kind of funny. So it's enjoyable, and I'm glad I don't have to cover them.
Yeah, I get it.
But I think that should be a better team. They've got the resources. They've got the horsepower to be much better.
Yeah, and the Atlantic Division's different this year, obviously, with Montreal playing better. Boston surprisingly playing well. Ottawa up there, and you don't see the Tampas, the Torontos, and you don't see Florida yet. But again, I always say this, you can't win a playoff spot in October and some in November, but you can lose one. And right now the Leafs are behind the eight ball with that. Let's get back to the forwards when it comes to Edmonton. You mentioned McDavid. Yeah, some plays on the ice, it's un-McDavid-like, and I shouldn't be doing that. Same thing with Leon. The other night for me, one of my favorites, and I think one of your favorite players too, and I think most Edmonton fans, is Zach Hyman. The fact that he came back, I just love the guy. And I always say this about Zach Hyman too. He's going to go down in history whenever he's asked, hey, how was your career whenever it ends? Well, I got to play with Auston Matthews and I got to play with Connor McDavid. So it's pretty good. It doesn't happen too often with people. Him coming back is great. But talk a bit about, again, some of the miscues and misassignments that you've seen with Edmonton's forwards.
Yeah. There's been some new blood in the lineup. Obviously, Perry going to LA, people are lamenting that. Being like, look at the production he's putting up, and why didn't the Oilers keep him? But they had to move on. The guy was 40 years old. One of the complaints last year that was consistent was the Oilers are too old, they're too slow. Corey Perry's 40 years old. Like, good on him. He's still doing it. But so they brought in new blood. You know, Matt Savoy earned his spot on the roster this year. He had a great season in Bakersfield last year, and he's gotten the praise of Chris Knobloch and says, this is an NHL player and he's highly touted and they expect him to do good things. It takes time. Like he's a third year pro, if you want to call it that. He's only 2 years removed from junior. He played his first full season of pro hockey last year, got a cup of coffee with the Oilers. Yeah. And now he's figuring out how to be a consistent NHL player. That takes time. You know, you're not going to figure it out like the snap of a fingers because listen, it's the best league in the world. So there's a learning curve there. They go and trade for Ike Howard. They gave up Sam O'Reilly, who's a good blue chip prospect for Ike Howard. And again, like, there's people around Edmonton saying, this guy's going to score 30 goals this season. What planet are you living on? Like, yes, he has offensive potential. Yes, yeah. He won the Hobey Baker. Yeah. Yes, he was a first rounder. But again, you got to have that dose of reality where it's like, you got to figure out the NHL. This is an NCAA. You're playing against men. It's a different beast. And, you know, he got sent down recently. He was okay. I appreciate his willingness to not change his game, try to do little things that he's used to and play his style, not adjust and become a grinder, essentially, is what I'm saying. But you could tell that the learning curve was steep for him, and they had to send him down to the minors and get him playing 20 minutes a night instead of 7.5 in the NHL. And so that's fine. They had David Tomaszek, who they signed out of the SHL, leading scorer there. And it's kind of like, I don't know. He was compared to Roman Cervenka when I asked about him. Yeah. And I had people in Oilers hockey, I would say, think of Roman Cervenka, who played like 39 games for the Flames in 2012, 2013, had like 17 points. And I'm like, that's what we're talking
about. So comparable.
Yeah. It's like, great. That's fantastic. Yeah. He hasn't been particularly great. Started out good, had a good camp. But so there's three guys in your forward group, that two rookies and a guy that's 29 years old that came over from Europe, is playing in the NHL for the first time. That's tough. Like, it's tough to get a lot of production out of those guys. And then they had an injury to Matthias Janmark. That didn't help. You know, Adam Henrique's older. The boots aren't as quick as they used to be. Yep. Well, he's been okay. Very responsible defensively. So it's been interesting watching them that way. Like, Andrew Mangiapane, his plus minus is terrible. He's been streaky. Started out scoring a few goals in the first couple games. Went quiet for a bit. Put together a run of three or four games where he put up points, went quiet again. Now he had a good game in Carolina the other day, but he was -4 in Columbus, and people were like, this guy just can't get it done. He did look good. I'll say this about him in Carolina. He was speedy. He was a burner again, it looked like. He was pesky, but it's kind of been spotty with him as well. So that's kind of been the plight of the Oilers forwards, is, you know, not a lot of offense either. And this team, this season, I think they've just hit four games where they scored more than three goals. You're not going to win a lot of hockey games when you only get to three, you know?
No, you're not. And especially, too, with what is going on in the Western Conference, let's kind of pivot to that with some of these teams. Anaheim is playing great hockey. It's so good to see that. And San Jose is moving in the right direction. Chicago is moving in the right direction. You've watched hockey a long time. I've watched hockey a long time. Remember when McDavid came in and Matthews came in and Eichel came in and Marner? I can keep going. We thought, okay, here's this new wave, and lets his fans ride that wave. But now the Matthew Schaefers, the Macklin Celebrinis, the Connor Bedards, the Leo Carlson, the stop me, you know, if you want to keep going. It's just, we're so lucky. And you mentioned Corey Perry as well. These veterans still playing well. Crosby putting up points. Malkin, Ovechkin. Like, right now, Tommy, the league is just so good. And just when you think, okay, we've got to wait maybe 2, 3, 4 more years before a new crop comes in, you blink your eyes and you're facing them, like, number one, Schaefer and Celebrini. It's such an amazing thing to see. And I love to see these teams that you knew that at some point would start to turn the corner, like a Chicago and San Jose and Anaheim. And I really like seeing the way that they're playing this season so far.
Yeah, how about the Buffalo Sabres? They're that one team that can't figure it out, right?
You see the first video after the first home game? I don't know if you saw it, but it was a guy who posted it on Instagram. He was following one of his buddies. I forget the jersey. I think he had a Tuck jersey on or something, a Tuck blade. And he was losing his mind. He was dropping all these F-bombs. And it was like the first game of the year. It was like, move the team, get them, move them somewhere else, put them north. It doesn't matter. Get them. I thought, you know what? This is the typical Buffalo fan base. And every year they do this.
Yeah. They deserve better. I mean, we josh about them, but like, that is a good hockey market. It's like another Canadian city, essentially. They deserve so much better. I think ownership has done them dirty. And putting Kevin Adams in charge with, you know, a spotty history as a hockey manager and all of that. I mean, a million coaches. They've had the talent, Ryan. Like,
They have.
They've had great players. They have really good players, and they just can't put it together. It's very, very frustrating. But you're right, though. The wave of players that are coming in now, very impressive. It's fun to watch Celebrini and Bedard kind of go toe-to-toe in the scoring race. And then, the old guard. I have to commend Sidney Crosby. Not that I would ever doubt him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But the fact he's always at Malkin's having a great year. Ovechkin hits 900 goals. It's kind of – we're getting it all. Like, as a hockey fan – yeah. If you just like the sport and want to celebrate it, I think this is probably one of the sweetest spots in time for hockey with the new wave, the current like top dogs. You look at McDavid, Pastrnak, Kucherov. Yeah. These guys are tremendous. And then the old guys are damn good still.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. The only thing that sucks in the NHL right now is goaltending. Seriously. True. Like, the goalies suck.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So what does it tell you? It just tells you that the players are too good, or defense is bad, or what? I mean, it'd be hard for me to think that the goalies aren't that great, but you're right. The goaltending, it's not something we talk about on a daily, nightly basis at all.
No.
I know this is old news, but I haven't talked to you since this. Just quick, when McDavid re-signed and signed the contract, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
Finally.
Okay.
Yeah, finally. Okay. Good. Get this over with so we don't have to talk about it every day. And I had people telling me from other markets, being like, he's not staying, right? And I'm just like, well, thank you for your input, but you're not here every day. You don't talk to man. There was no indicator from anyone in hockey ops or around the organization that they were worried. And that to me was a big sign. And I mentioned that a few times on shows on our station. People are like, what the hell does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean diddly squat. But when you're around the team and the organization, I worked for it for 8 years. I still have a lot of friends in the hockey ops department. I still have a lot of friends in the business side. And when they're not sweating about the McDavid situation, I think that was an important little subtle tell.
Yeah.
And I never once got a sense from them that they were worried that he wasn't coming back and extending. And then listen, people said that the 2-year extension, puts the Oilers on the spot. They're always going to be on the spot with McDavid
always here.
Like, that's never going to change. And to me, I just think, the fact that he took no pay upgrade and kept it the same at the 12.5 million, that's amazing. Yeah. And he just did them a huge, huge favor to bring in more players to keep them, as a contender. But I think the payday is going to come. When you're hearing that the cap, you work with Dave Pagniotta, Pags has been saying cap's going up to 108, not 104.
Yep.
And then 2 years from now, we're not talking 113, which was projected. We're talking 120.
Yep.
This guy's going to get paid. Like, his money's coming, and he's made a ton already. But, whether or not it's in Edmonton or somewhere else, we can debate that in 2 summers. I'm not looking forward to it, but I didn't get any inkling that he was leaving or that he wouldn't re-sign with Edmonton. And sure enough, they got the deal done. So to me, it was just finally, let's move on. Yes, people are going to worry that it's only for 2 extra years.
Yeah.
But we'll get there when we get
there. I thought, too, that the way he handled it was perfect. It was just, he was honest as much as he could be. And he was quite clear in that I want to do what's right for me and my family. And I thought, how he handled it was great. So, yeah, I was with you. I didn't think that he wasn't going to re-sign. But certainly in a couple of years after this one, we'll see if the talk gets going. Let's get into 77 seconds with you. 7 questions. I may have thrown in one more. And there's really, you can't fail at this thing, just to let you know. But if the first few questions are complete duds and the answers, then I'll just cut the whole conversation. I'm kidding. That's never
happened. I'm not good at tests, by the way.
Okay, well, this isn't a test. Let's make this an exam. It's a lot easier.
Okay. Yeah, that's even scarier. More daunting. Thank you.
When I was in school, term work, no problem. Tests and exams, it went down so much. And I remember I'd come home, my parents, sorry, I just can't do them. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, here we go. Describe Gene Principe in one word.
Outstanding. If I could use two, I would say just the best.
Just the best.
So, yeah, if I could misspell the best, I'd put the best as one word.
I met him during game three and four of the final last year in Florida. We had him on the show a number of times. First time I met him, and, it's one of those guys that you hear, you see, you listen to, but he is as advertised in person. So I agree.
Yep. Uncle Gene.
How much time on during game day show day do you spend on your hair?
Honestly, like 2 minutes.
Really?
It's a very simple process. Now, okay. The key is Swedish hair cream. I will give you that. But okay. It's just you slick it back like Tino Vasolino and away you go. So that's kind of like what we're doing here. And it's all the Swedish hair cream. There's a lot of product in there. But yeah, people give me the gears. You know who's actually got legit awesome hair is Bukowskis. I'm very envious. It is immaculate. So
I know. I'm envious of anyone who has anything left on top. Actually, you know what? Hey, I'm comfortable with this. It is what it is. I gave into it years ago. I'm like, hey, let's just do
it. It's very symmetrical.
Yeah, thank you. I like to think it is. I don't think I've ever been told that before, but I'll take it. Skiing. You're in Alberta. Mm-hmm. Sunshine or Lake Louise if you had one day and one choice?
Oh, God. Lake Louise is beautiful. There's so much around there, too. Yeah, I'll probably go Lake Louise.
Name this former hockey player. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
From 2000 to 2007, scored 104 goals, racked up 177 assists, 281 points. His peak year, North Edmonton Red Wings and Cap JHL with 72 points. Name this player.
That's Thomas Lawrence Gazzola, who, in his fourth year of junior hockey, figured it out. So,
hey, yeah. Look
at that flow.
Look at that.
That was dippity do. That was not Swedish hair cream.
You even had it back then.
Mm-hmm. Just a greasy North Edmonton Red Wing.
Yeah, man. It's the crack research team on the show that put that stuff together.
I love it.
I ask this all the time on my guests. Athlete, past or present, that you would love to sit down and chat with that you haven't chatted?
Oh, wow.
Could be a couple. Any sport.
Yeah. At all time, too.
All time, yeah.
I'd want to hear, like, stories from Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Or the stuff that those guys did back in the day. Or Mickey Mantle. Like, how did he play hungover and drunk all those games and have the career that he did? Just to hear stories from those guys. Baseball is this weird universe that I'm fascinated by, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I agree. I saw this clip of Mantle when he was doing an interview before he passed. He said, I don't know what the question was, but I'm kind of paraphrasing thinking. It was something like, you know, when kids look up to you or when they come up to you and say, I want to be like you, he answered in this way. He said, don't be like me. He said, I was given this body. I completely abused it. I played well, but I abused. Don't be like me. And I thought, wow, you know, here's one of the greatest of all time who went through, you know what, and I, to your point about how he ended up playing every day in the condition that he was is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. If we agree, and I think we will, that Gretzky and McDavid, and again, McDavid will go down in history as one of, if not the best Oiler. Time will tell, but Gretzky's certainly there right now. Who's the third greatest Oiler of all time?
Good question. I mean, I think Marc Messier has to be.
Okay.
It's
a tie. Like, there's a lot of Curry, right? Like, you know.
Yeah.
People want to talk about in goal, Grant Fuhr, but obviously when talk about greatest, you usually talk about the forwards. But yeah, Messier is certainly.
I'll give Doug Waite a shout out, though. I love Doug Waite.
I love
Doug
Waite.
Great guy. They say never meet your heroes. If you meet Doug Waite, you're lucky because he is excellent. Like Gene Principe, just a really good dude.
That's a good way to bookend. I'll ask you one more. Who was your cup winner before we started the season? Who was the cup winner?
Probably Florida.
Has it changed?
I'm stubborn, so I'll say no. Okay. But it's not looking good right now.
No, it's not.
And I'll even add this. Yeah. I said this on our shows going into the season. I think the Oilers are going to take a step back. They kind of have, but a lot of teams have this year. Yeah. And I think they'll have a shorter spring this year, and then next year they're going to be catapulted and, you know, play with reckless abandon and finally win and bring a cup home to Canada.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been a long time. 93, been a long, long time since the country has won the cup. Tommy, this has been great. Appreciate the time and love that we finally got to do this, and it'll be far less time between the next visit, so thanks again.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thanks, Ryan.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.